Should my red not change to green?
No, you're good.
No?
You're coming through loud and clear.
Hallelujah. Even when I'm at red, I've got a green light from God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. What the Lord has got me to share with you today, initially, is very personal. It's part of the testimony of my life. But it's for a reason why I'm sharing it. So I give him all the glory. And my prayer is that you don't hear me, but you hear God. That you hear the Holy Spirit speak to you through what he has asked me to share. I am simply being obedient. I'm making myself pretty vulnerable this morning. I've already come with a hanky just in case I need it. I did pick up a hanky somewhere. What have I done with it? Oh, I know where it is. It's up my sleeve. That's where it is. Hanky's up my sleeve just in case I need it. Hallelujah. So thank you, Lord. Just bless you for your word, Father. May it speak into our hearts and into our minds, and may it bring change, Father. May it bring change. Thank you, Jesus, in your precious name. I recently received a gift, and it was a love gift. But the thing about this gift is that it came at a great cost. Because this love gift came because my mum died. It costed her life so that I could get this gift. What is it you're talking about, Susan? Some of you are wondering. Well, I received an inheritance from my mum. Not a lot of money, but an inheritance which came because of her love for me. And that touches me. My mum and dad were ordinary people. They were working class. They worked very hard. And when my dad died, everything went to my mum. And it will be 2 years on the 28th of this month since my mum died. But only now has her estate been finalised, because only recently did our house get sold. So I had the joy of receiving an inheritance. And I heard from my sister, who was one of the executors of the will, that things were in the final stages and that the monies would be sent out to all of my brothers and sisters very soon. And the morning after I heard that, I was in my bed and I was thinking about my mum and dad. And I was thinking of the inheritance that was to come. And all I heard inside of me was, their love still speaks. Their love still speaks. And that broke me, but in a good way. You know, this is not a message of sadness. This is an encouraging message. This is a message of hope. Their love still speaks. And that never left me. And it's still with me. Because even since her death, she still speaks. And my dad still speaks too. This is not just about my mum. But the inheritance has only come to us as sons and daughters because of the final death. And you know, loved ones may die, but they live in your heart forever. Yeah. And for all of you who have lost loved ones, you will know that and you will understand that. And I thank God that you understand that, because there's great healing when you understand that. We're all different through death. We grieve in different ways. We mourn in different ways. But when you know that their love still speaks, then it's a great comforter. So I thank God for that. So, my inheritance. It came after a death. It came after a death. And the only thing that qualified my brothers and sisters for our inheritance was that we were sons and daughters. That's what qualified us. That's why it came to us, because we were sons and daughters. We were natural sons and daughters. And each of us, we were all inheriting from our parents' love. And I think that that's really beautiful. We did nothing to earn it. It came because of love. Love still speaks. Amen. And it speaks today. Amen. To you and to me. It was a gift to us. But do you know what? I've had the blessing of sharing it with our children and with our children's children. You see, the inheritance is not just for me. The inheritance has to be shared. And it goes down the generations. And what a joy to be able to share the love of my parents to my children and to their children. It's just a beautiful picture. But there's more to this picture than just what I've received in the natural. Let's look at it on a spiritual level. Because you and me, as sons and daughters of the Most High, we have all received an inheritance. All of us, we have received an inheritance. And that inheritance for you and for me is the same. I don't get any more than you, and you don't get any more than me. I had a laugh when my sister gave us what figure would be coming to us, because it turned out that the three eldest all got one penny more. And I said, it's okay, I'm not going to quibble about it. I'm not going to get upset about it. But I wonder, when we see people prospering in the things of the kingdom, do we get upset because we're not? Do we sometimes think, how come they've got that and I've not got that? Or are we able to rejoice that we've all got an inheritance? Amen. Love still speaks. And as believers, we have got a love gift from God. It's an eternal inheritance for which we did nothing. We could never earn it. We would never deserve it. But it came because of the sacrifice of Jesus. It came because of his death on the cross, of his burial in the tomb, and of his resurrection to new life. That brought you and me our inheritance. And it's all to the praise of his glory. We are his supernatural children. Each one of us loved the same. No one loved more than the other. No one receiving more than the other. We all receive the same because his love is perfect. He withholds no good thing from those whose walk is blameless. Let's get confirmation of this from Scripture, because that's where the truth is. So let's look. Ephesians 1 verse 14. Hallelujah. We are his supernatural children, and his provision to us is sealed by the Holy Spirit. And in Ephesians 1 14 it says, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Your inheritance is guaranteed. because you've been sealed in the Holy Spirit. It guarantees our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. That's you and me. We're his possession. We're his beloved. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know that you're his beloved this morning? Do you know that he is rejoicing over you with singing this morning? And it's all to the praise of his glory. It also tells us in Romans 8, verse 17. And I think that this is just beautiful. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. You and I are heirs to every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. But do you know what? We're not going to get these things when we get to heaven. They're here now. Our inheritance is laid before us now. We need to partake of it now. And we need to share it with others now. Because when we get to heaven, heaven is not going to need it. The people in the world need it now. The people in your family need it now. The people in your neighbourhood need it now. The people in your streets need it now. The people in your workplaces, they need that now. They need you to share your inheritance with them so that they can come in and have that inheritance for themselves. That is what it's all about. God is not selfish. He's not keeping these things to himself and saying, Susan, you'll get it one day. No, I have it now because of the death of Jesus. We all have it now. So don't look for your inheritance on that day when you get there, although the truth is, it will be made complete. But everything that you need to live a life right now pertaining to godliness, it's right here, right now, inside of you. You've got a full inheritance inside of you. You've got all you need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't need to think that Sarah's got something that I've not got. Because what Sarah's got, I've got too. We all have. We've all been given the same. We've all been given the same. Larry's not getting a penny more than me. We've all got the same. See, if you did, Larry, I would be blessed with that. Do we covet what we see in others? And Andrew actually shared that. You know, that sometimes, you can be distracted looking at another brother, at another sister in the Lord. How come they've got that? I want that. I wish I could be like Joan. I wish I could do the things that Joan's doing. Joan's doing the things she's meant to be doing because they're in Joan's plan. The things of Susan are not in Joan's plan. They're in my plan. So let's get on with our plan. Let's fulfill our plan. Let's use everything that God has given us so that we will see that inheritance just being shared freely. Freely we have received. We get this inheritance free. We don't pay for it. Jesus paid for it. Jesus rescued the sinner. He paid the ransom from heaven. We don't have to do that. He did it. So as we freely receive, let's freely give. Hallelujah. I need a drink. I thank God that love still speaks. I thank God that I have love for my parents, even though they're not here. And they have love for me. You see, even though we're separated, love still speaks. And it's beautiful. And it's not morbid. And it's not holding on to grief. And it's not allowing people to die. It's none of that. Love never fails. And love will always speak. And I am so thankful for that. But how much more the love of God? How much more does the love of God speak? He speaks tenderly to you and me every moment of every day. And I just wonder, do we hear him? Do we hear him when love speaks? Love personified. A great gift of love. And he speaks peace to troubled waters. Even today, he speaks peace to troubled waters. He speaks calm into the storms of life. He speaks ease into our disease. He speaks hope into our hopelessness. He speaks joy into our sadness. He speaks quietness into our turmoil. He speaks rest in our unrest. And he speaks comfort in our discomfort. And that's going on right now, today, because his love still speaks. He died on the cross over 2,000 years ago, and yet his love still speaks today, to you and to me. There is no greater love. There is no greater love. He speaks tenderly to you and me because we are his children. And there's an Ian White song that says, even after all these years, the cross still speaks. The cross is still here, even after all these years. And it's calling to you, and it's calling to me, that we would know salvation, that we would know freedom, that we would know release. His cross still speaking. Still speaking. The blood of Jesus is still speaking. The blood of Jesus, still as effective today as it was when it first dropped. Drop. As it dropped from that cross, every drop of blood, that the power in that blood is still speaking today. It is still saving today. People coming to a knowledge of a saving Lord all over the world is still happening today. People coming into their inheritance today. Hallelujah. It's bringing freedom and it's bringing reconciliation. Scripture tells us that creation itself speaks of the goodness of God. And do you know what? I really believe that God even speaks in the silence. He speaks in the silence. His tangible presence speaks. And you know that he's there. You know his care. You know his love. You know his devotion. You know his compassion. You know his mercy. Everything about him you know, even in the silence. When you're asking God something and you're thinking, I'm not hearing anything, do you know what? He's still speaking. Because his love is still there. His love never stops speaking. But I wonder, do we always hear it? Is his love always heard by you and me? Or are we so consumed by other noises, by other voices, that we don't hear the voice of God? And that's the voice that we need to hear. I find it interesting that when the phrase "love still speaks" came to me, I found myself thinking of the word "still." And the word "still" can be used in many different forms. It can be a noun, it can be a verb, it can be an adverb, or it can even be an adjective. And some of you are going, well, so what? What does all of that mean? Well, you can have examples of "in the still of the night." You can have "kind words speak." "Kind words can still my fears." Same word, but different meanings. "Henry came to tea and he's still here." That's got another meaning. Or you can have "the lake," for those who are English. Doesn't sound quite as good when I say "loch." So I'm saying "the lake lay still and dark." It's the same word, but there's different meanings in there. Some of the scriptures that come to mind when I think about the word "still," one of them, in fact, both of them you will all know. Psalm 37, verse 7 says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." See, sometimes we can come and be still before the Lord, but maybe we're not quite as good at waiting patiently for him. Because you can think, well, I'm here, Lord, and I'm ready. So, you know, now would be good. Now would be good. I would like to hear from you now. Or the other, Psalm 46, verse 20 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Oh. If we really knew the gift of God and who it was that is here standing before you today, tells us in the New Testament when the woman was at the well, if you really knew the gift of God, that in itself would cause you to be still. So you see, sometimes just with the issues of life, the things that are going on, it takes us away from knowing God and being able to be still. Did you remember when the Lord appeared to Elijah at Horeb? Elijah had seen the great things happen, and then all of a sudden he was running in fear. And in 1 Kings 19, verse 9, we find that he spent the night in a cave, and then the Lord comes and asks him a question. And the Lord says to Elijah, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And John has often shared that this is not a geographical question. God knew exactly why Elijah was there. But he was asking Elijah, "What are you doing in this place of fear? Why have you run away? Have you forgotten all the great things that you've just witnessed? When the fire came down and destroyed all the Baal worshipping that was going on, all the prophets, have you forgotten that, Elijah?" Do we sometimes forget what God has done? In verse 11, the Lord said to Elijah, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." And then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. Can you just picture that? Can you just imagine being there and all of that going on? How would you have felt? I think I would have been a bit frightened. Not in fear, but frightened, perhaps. Taken aback. What is going on? But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper, a still, small, quiet voice. And when Elijah heard it, you see, he heard the gentle whisper. When he heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Now, he had to put the cloak over his face because if he had seen the face of God, he would have died. That's how it was in those days. But you need to note that God spoke to Elijah in a gentle whisper. But Elijah was so inclined that he heard the gentle whisper. God doesn't always come at us with a huge, loud voice that he knows that he will, that we will hear. But he wants to know that he has got our attention and that we are inclining to hear what he's got to say. It's very easy to hear what someone's got to say when they're shouting it at the top of their voice. But it's a little bit more difficult to actually get clarity in what somebody is saying when they're speaking in a gentle whisper. You and I need to be ready to hear the gentle whisper. God still longs to speak. But we need to be still. We need to be still to allow that still small voice to speak to us and to cause stillness to come to whatever else is taking our attention, to whatever else is going on externally or even internally. And there's a warning in Hebrews 3, verse 7. And in my Bible, this portion of scripture is entitled "A Warning Against Unbelief." And you know, unbelief is not good for you as a child of God. Unbelief will take you away from the truth. That's what unbelief is meant to do. It gives the toehold to the enemy so the enemy can come in and try and do what he wants to do. But there's a greater plan. There's a greater plan going on. Amen. And God gives us a warning in scripture. He gives us many warnings, but I love this scripture. Hebrews 3 verse 7. So, as the Holy Spirit says, you need to know it's the Holy Spirit that's saying this. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. During the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me and for 40 years saw what I did. You see, they all saw the goodness of God. They all saw it with their own eyes, but they rebelled. This is referring to the waters of Meribah and Massah. And these two names actually mean quarrelling and rebelling. So, you know, you shouldn't be surprised. We need not to harden our hearts. Because it's only in the hardness of heart that we will rebel. You can't rebel when you're in that new heart that God has given us from Ezekiel, that new heart of flesh. When we are in that heart of the Spirit, living by the Spirit of God, we can't be in rebellion when we're in that place. Because all that will come from the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. And you all know what the fruit of the Spirit is. So if you've got anything else other than these nine things going on in your heart just now, then it's not the fruit of the Spirit. So you need to come before God and seek God yourself. Because all that we should have in our heart is all the fruit of the Spirit. So if there's worry and anxiety, that's not a fruit of the Spirit. If there's anxiousness, that's not a fruit of the Spirit. If there's anger, bitterness, resentment, jealousy, envy, whatever, these are not fruits of the Spirit. You know what the fruit of the Spirit is. And it's your job and it's my job to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Because when we do that, we are saved from so much. It's so beneficial to walk in the Spirit. So beneficial. Hallelujah. Verse 12 goes on to say, "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." Lord, I pray that we will never have a sinful, unbelieving heart that would cause us to turn away from you, because you are the source of our life. Hallelujah. Scripture goes on to say, Psalm 131, "My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me." And verse 2 reads this, "But I have stilled and quietened my soul like a weaned child." Like a well-fed child, it says in other versions. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. You allowing yourself to be weaned by the word of God. Hallelujah. You allowing yourself to be stilled and quietened in your soul only by the richest affair which you will get in here. And the richest affair is not milk. It's much more than the milk of the word. And for us to grow and develop, as children are weaned, we need to grow and develop. We need to mature in the things of God, and we need to get eating the solid food. John 10, verse 27 says, "My sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Hallelujah. Are you thankful that you hear the voice of God? Or have you just become familiar? Are you thankful every day that God longs to speak to you? Are you thankful every day for the great inheritance that he's given you? Are you thankful that you have no lack? You have everything in the spirit realm. Amen. You have it all. Yeah. Are you thankful for your inheritance? Hallelujah. Are you thankful that you can share it with the generations? Mm-hmm. Are you thankful that you can give it to your children and to your children's children? Amen. Are you thankful that you can be an influence wherever you are? Are you thankful that you hold people's miracles and blessings inside of you? And are you thankful that God is saying, "You are my child, and in you I am well pleased"? Are you thankful that God says, "You are of great worth to me"? Are you thankful that he has entrusted his kingdom unto you? Are you thankful for these things?
Thank you, Jesus.
We still need to hear the voice of God on a daily basis. And we still need to believe. We still need to obey. And we still need to follow. His love still remains, and his love remains still. It's a different meaning when you say it like that. His love is remaining even up to now, And his love will continue to remain because his love will never die. And his love will never fail. It tells us that in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. We have a delightful inheritance, it says in Psalm 16, verses 5 and 6 says, Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. Are you thankful that he has made your lot secure? Amen. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Are you thankful for that? Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Are you thankful for your inheritance? Are you thankful for it? Hallelujah. The inheritance that I received from my mum is a blessing. But I only got it because she died. And you and me have got a greater inheritance, yes, from our Father in heaven. And we only have that because he sent his Son to die, that you and I would gain everything that he wanted us to gain. Amen. He's given us his all. And all that he asks of me and you is that we will trust and obey. So I pray that you will be thankful that his love still speaks on a daily basis. I pray that you will be thankful that his love remains still. And that as his love remains, he can bring a stillness and a calmness and a quietness to any storm that you may be going through, to any difficulty that you may be going through. Because do you know what? Life can be tough and life can be hard. But throughout all of it, his love still speaks. And my prayer for you today is that you would be still and know that he is God and that he alone would get the glory. You are his beloved children, and he has given you all that you need in this life. He is your constant source. He is your constant supply, and his love never changes. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he will always be. His love will always remain, and I pray that we will always remain in his love. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.